The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I have a word in my heart, and I'm not quite sure how to put it all together. My problem isn't usually trying to find something to preach. My problem is finding how to put everything that's inside in a way that everybody can understand it and comprehend it. But the word that I have is really not something new. It's something that we've been pursuing. But for me, this is one of the real kingpins of walking effectively and with joy in the Holy Spirit before God. Last year, at the beginning of the year, Bob said that we were going to, you know, Bob kind of laid out a challenge to us as a body, that we are going to press into this thing called being transformed by the renewing of the mind, right? Yeah. Has anybody's mind, are you the same now as you were a year and 10 months ago? No. I'm not either. And we're just learning the power of having a mind that is transformed. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, or chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And that's just our reasonable service. You know, that I beseech you therefore, brethren. See, I've always looked at that verse as, well, I better just buck under, and I got to just get on the altar, and I got to bear it all, and let God kill me, let God do what he's got to do to me. That's really not what that verse is saying. It says, I beseech you, brethren. It's not, I beg you, brethren, you got to do this. It is, there is an invitation to you. That word is more about an invitation that's being extended. Because we have now got a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable, right? It can be presented to God. And we have this invitation in our lives that we can actually be the hands and the feet, the mouthpiece, the ears, the arm around a shoulder, the smile on somebody. That we can actually be something of the hands and feet. We can be the agent that God uses to bring what's in heaven to earth in a very, very real way. Now, that's not God begging us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's an invitation. That's a high and that's a holy invitation. Amen? Amen. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies. Bring it. Bring who you are. Is your body presented to God? I mean, can he move you in the moment to love on somebody who's going through a hard time? Can he move you in the moment to join with somebody that's rejoicing? Can he move with you in the moment to give some money, you know, other than the offering plate? A neighbor that's going through something, somebody that's got a financial hardship, you know, and your giving isn't relegated to, well, I'm holy and I'm acceptable to God. I'm presenting my body to God, therefore I only give to God. No. You give to people because God loves people. You know, if the extent of your giving is only here at Living Waters Church, and I appreciate your generosity here at Living Waters Church, but I want to encourage you, find some places outside of Living Waters Church to give to. Find somebody that just needs some encouragement and bless them. Amen?
Amen.
And then he goes on and Paul says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you can know the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So there's this confirmation and then there's transformation. The don't be conformed to this world. See, when you're born again, when you have come to the place where you have committed your life to Christ Jesus, it's not like you're just joining some kind of a happy bless me club. There is a real something that is deposited inside of you. It's called the imperishable seed of the gospel. And in fact, if you translate the seed that is planted in you when you're born again, it's actually the sperm of God. We actually become partakers of his divine nature.
Amen.
See, and everything in life is set to have you conform to this world. Everything in life wants to pull you and say, you've got to look like this to be cool. You got to act like this to be accepted by everybody else. You got to talk like this. You know, you got to dress like this, or you got to have these values, or you got to, you know, you just go on and on and on. And how much of your life do you really have control of? How much of your life do you have that you can actually present to God? And I know that, well, I don't have any control of my life. God controls me. No, that's a lie. We have, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. I can control myself. I don't have to, well, when God moves on me, well, then it's going to happen. No, he really loves you and he really trusts you. Did you know that? We have self-control. I remember when Susie and I wanted to, well, when I started pastoring, of course, our minds went right away to, well, we really should live in the city that we're pastoring in. I mean, that's what they say, right? And so we tried to move to Elk River. And I found that when we tried to move to Elk River, that number one, we'd have spent about $50,000, $60,000 more for a house than what we had. And the taxes would have been another another $2,000 a year for what we had. I mean, it was going to cost us a significant amount of money just to move to Elk River. And we tried a couple of times. We thought we can downsize, we can do this, we can do that, you know. But the end result was, after trying for a long time, one day, and it was really in close to the same day, that, you know, I thought, okay, I'm going to start looking in Elk River again. And the Lord posed a question to my heart that changed my life in understanding how much he trusts me. He said, Dave, what do you want to do? God, I'm not used to you asking me that question. It's supposed to be, I'm supposed to ask you, right? No, he said, Dave, what do you want to do? I said, well, I love my house. We built this house. We built it for people to live with us. We built it for, you know, parents to live with us, missionaries if need be. Well, we've had a lot of homeless people living with us already. We built this house with a purpose, and I love living here. I love the drive from up there down to church where I work, and I want to stay here. And he says, okay. About the same, it was real close to the same day that Susie and I came together, and the Lord had spoken to her the same way. He said, Susie, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And she says, I love my house. I want to stay in my house. See, this being conformed, we think we have an idea that everybody else has to talk to us and tell us what we need to be like. For years, I thought to be a pastor, I had to look like something that I cannot be. And I found that God really trusts me in who I am. He created me. I'm working to find out who I am. I haven't arrived by any stretch of the imagination, but I believe that he created me with a dream, with a desire. And everything in the church wants you to conform to what church looks like. Can I just pose something to you? Let the Father ask you, what do you want? Much of what's in your heart already, he placed there.
That's right.
You just need to discover it. See, but if you've got all these voices that say, well, if you're going to be a good Christian, you got to look like this, you got to look like that, you got to look like the other thing, you got to be doing this, you got to go to church. I tell you, you will be frustrated in your walk in Christ. See, it's not a matter of being conformed to good, bad, ugly, indifferent. It's not a matter of being conformed to something. The real issue is being transformed. And that happens through the renewing of your mind. Because in this life, where you're not born again, where you don't have the seed of the Father in you, you judge everything by what you can see, taste, touch, and feel. And that shapes you, that molds you. The atmosphere that you grew up in as a family, what was your normal, or what was your experience, what was normal to you is not Jesus' normal. See, but we bring stuff that we think is familiar, and the way I grew up, well, isn't that the right way? I grew up in a good house. I'm finding out I grew up in a lot of dysfunction. And I had a good upbringing. I had a mom and dad that really cared. I'll put it this way. My kids grew up in a lot of dysfunction. And it's okay to say that. Because their experience, what I'm hoping is that they don't necessarily, I hope they can take the good things we did, all right, and walk it out with their families. But there were areas where we just missed it. That became their normal experience. I pray that they can build on the good things that we did do and the things where we missed it, that they can improve on that. They don't need to conform to our family and be relegated to our family experience. Why? Because there is transformation on this side of the cross. There is something that is changed from the inside out. That imperishable seed, the sperm, the tree, whatever you want to call it, of God is growing inside, and it will transform you. See, but we're so busy being conformed. You know, I'm going to get political here for a moment. All right? My daughter and I had a discussion, and she's voting differently than I am this time around. And as we talked, see, all I want is I want her to respect where I'm coming from. And I respect where she's coming from. And at the end of the day, she told me her convictions, why she's voting the way she is. I told her my convictions, why I'm voting the way I am. And at the end of it, I made this statement to her. I said, honey, you have got, it would be wrong for you to be convinced by me if that's not your conviction. It would be wrong for you to vote in a way that's not your conviction. Why? Because Romans 14 says, whatever is not of faith is sin. And if you can't vote the way I'm voting out of a deep conviction, then you had better vote your conviction. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I will vote the way I'm voting because I have faith to vote that way. Okay? See, I'm not trying to conform her way of thinking. I'm not trying to get her to see my wisdom. I'm not trying to get her to be shaped according to what is the value in my heart. But do you see where the church for years has tried to conform people? Not to the image of Christ, but to the image of the church. Can I encourage you to dare to be transformed? What would happen if you weren't limited by what you see in the church? Think of that. What would happen to you if transformation came at such a deep level in you that all of the small thinking of the church wouldn't have an effect on you? I know it sounds like I don't love the church. You know me better, right? I love the church. I love the church. But we have been short-sighted because we have tried to build something that everybody can conform to. We've tried to build something that everybody can look alike at. You know, in this kind of a church, you wear a suit and you wear a tie and you dress up nice, and in this kind of a shirt, you wear shorts and you wear jeans and you wear... That's got nothing to do with it. Transformation is where you move from what was familiar to you, what you grew up in, what has been imposed on you by society, and transformation is that ongoing process where you get conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's bigger than church. That's bigger than... See, I don't want to conform anybody to Pastor Dave. I'm a role model. I understand that. And I can minister into people's lives. It's one of my great joys to be able to take what God's done in me and be able to pass it on to somebody else. That's a huge joy. But don't be limited by what Pastor Dave is. Why? Because Pastor Dave is still being transformed. And today's Pastor Dave that you might be striving for might look differently down the road. Do you see what is being said here? So why is transformation important? So that we can know the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. That's not three different wills, by the way. He has one will that is good, acceptable, and perfect. Well, Dave, you just told me that he submitted his will to you. What do you want to do about moving to Elk River or not? I tend to think that he had placed that will in my heart all along. And I was in perfect alignment with his will. And God isn't flaky. And you have way more understanding of who he is and what he wants you to be in you than what you think you do. The problem is many of us have tried to conform to other people's ideals. We've tried to conform and to keep everybody else happy. You know what I'm saying here? Do you feel the rebel coming out in you? I'm not preaching rebellion here, okay? What I'm preaching is rebel against the status quo of culture, the status quo of churchianity. Rebel against the things that God hasn't created you to be. Be transformed. Move from that stuff. Be transformed through the renewing of your mind so that you can know, I see myself the way God sees me. He sees me in Christ. He sees me as righteous. He sees me as a son. He likes my opinions. He likes the way I talk. He likes the way I cry. He likes the way I laugh. He likes me. Hey, Mikey, you know? It's like, come on. I just hate that religious thing that wants to put everybody in the same box when God values diversity.
Freedom,
diversity, whatever it is. See, that's one of the things I'm convinced about nations. People are talking about, well, there's a one-world government, it's all going to happen. You know, that's always been a lust in the heart of the enemy since the building of the Tower of Babel. Have one nation that would worship him. I don't think God's going to allow that to happen. You know why? Because he's created nations differently. He's created nations uniquely. He's created nations to present a part of who he is in all of his beauty. To think that God is going to let it be dumbed down to just one expression of, to some unknown creator. No. God is into uniqueness. He's into your uniqueness. He's into my uniqueness. He's into the uniqueness in the kingdom, in different nations. Amen. So what we're pursuing here is this transformation, and that can only happen through the renewing of the mind. God honors us so much that he will limit his will to how you think. He will limit his will to the values that you carry in your life. He will limit his power. He will limit his ability. Ah, Dave, come on. What about the sovereignty of God? Well, I'll tell you what. God valued freedom so much that he let Adam and Eve make a bad decision in the garden. How many of us as parents would have said, don't do that. Conform to me. Don't touch that fruit. In fact, how many of us would have hid the tree on the other side of Mount Everest? Put it right there by the good choices. I mean, come on. What's that about, God? He trusts who he has created. And there are some that are not going to make the mark, but there are others who are going to be responsible in this thing called self-control. That I have something to say about how I live, how I live in health, how I am healed, how I love people, how I work, how I enjoy life. See, Oh, I could just go on, but I'm not going to. You get the point.
Yeah.
Transformation is something that happens because of the seed that's growing inside of you. Confirmation will actually put a lid on that seed that's growing. It will actually stifle the life of God that is growing in you. When you value other people's opinions and are conformed to this world by what you can see, taste, touch, and feel, limited to that will actually stifle stunted growth, because transformation will always bring something else forward. Here's the other thing about transformation. In transformation, something has to die in order for it to be transformed. A kernel of wheat, unless it's put in the ground, except it dies, you know, those seeds, those kernels of wheat, or let's say corn. The Pharaohs would get buried with bucket loads of this corn in the pyramids for 4,000 years. They got that corn. Once they broke through and got the pyramid, they found out that they planted that corn and it would still grow. It had never fallen into the seed, into the ground, and died. And it remained alone. It remained as one little kernel. But when it fell into the ground and it died, there's a transformation that took place that allowed much fruitfulness. Metamorphosis is actually the word that is used there for be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's the thought of the caterpillar. But, you know, the caterpillar ceases its identity as a worm. If it never ceases its identity as a worm, it will never be the butterfly. While it was the worm, it had all the DNA. Everything inside it was a potential. But part of that DNA had to die in order for him to fly. The full potential for you to be a son of God, a daughter of God, to fly in the things of God, it was in you when you were a worm. It was in you. You were created in God's image. Every man, woman, and child walking on the face of the planet is created in God's image. In fact, that's why the devil hates humankind. When he looks at humankind, he sees the image of God. And in that worm of unregeneration lies the full potential of sons and daughters of God. But I tell you, until that dies, it will never be released to be the son and the daughter of God. Jesus says it. He says, to the extent that you lose your life, you gain it. To the extent that you keep your life, you're going to lose real life. See, we have a choice in this thing. I have self-control. I can either die to the lusts of the flesh and to the things that bind me into smallness, or I can be released. I can be crucified with Christ. You ever thought of that? Paul said it maybe 20, 25 years after Jesus was crucified. He said, I have been crucified. This is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. So he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Paul, how do you weren't on the cross with Jesus? He was. I like to... If Paul could say that from 20 years before, I can say that from 2,000 years ago. Amen. I, Dave Weigel, somehow 2,000 years ago, there's no time and space in the Spirit, somehow Dave Weigel was crucified with Christ. You know, I often tell people that are just struggling in life, I say, you know what you really need to get a vision of? You have got to see yourself superimposed on the cross of Jesus Christ. You have got to see yourself crucified with Christ. You've got to see that split moment in all eternity where your sin became his sin. where he who was absolutely beautiful and perfect and in fellowship with the Father, in that split moment in all eternity, it'll never happen again. It was one time in all eternity, in a split moment, where he actually became your sin. He became my sin. And I was crucified with him. I'm leaking batteries. Oh, man, this is a disaster, isn't it? Good thing I'm crucified with Christ.
You talk.
I'll talk. Bob will do this thing here. What's that? I'm being transformed. Yeah, I am. See, but we have got to see that time where his sin, where our sin became his sin. You have got to understand that something has had to have died in you in order for you to be transformed. And it's, there we go. Oh. Testing. There we go. I'm back. I'm live. Thank you, Bob. This is a reality. See, we can read these verses, we can study these verses, we can memorize these verses, we can chew on these verses, but somehow our thinking has got to be renewed so that we believe these things. Amen. See, it's not enough to just have this knowledge. I've quoted these verses for years and years and years. But I tell you, it is becoming more of a reality right now. That except something falls, unless I am crucified with Christ, and then not only that, I was buried with him, it says in Romans 6, through baptism. Why? So that I could be raised by the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
See, you don't live in the grave anymore. You don't live as a single kernel of grain anymore. That's not the reality. That's not what God sees, and that cannot be what you see. You have got to see that you were raised by the same glory, no less, the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead. What was it like in the tomb? What was it like in the tomb when life came back into Jesus' body? What was it like? The same glory that raised Jesus from the dead has now quickened my life, your life. I tell you, this is good news. Dead religion, this stuff where you got to try to work harder. See, a dead man can't sin. Transformational thinking. You have got to start to believe what the Word says about you. That's transformational thinking. We were praying on Thursday, and I had a bit of a vision, and visions for me are always a little bit hard to describe, but I understood that there were cross currents in the room. I understood there was one wind that was going this way and another wind that was going this way. The wind that was going this way is who I really am, the spirit man. Do you know that you are absolutely, entirely whole in your spirit man? In your spirit man, the real you, the part of you that lives for eternity, it is an eternal being and will live forever. The part that has been transformed, born again, means that it had to die. It had to get crucified with Christ. Why? So that the seed of life could now go inside of me in my spirit man. And my spirit man is always thinking this way. I'll tell you where the cross currents come. It's right here. There's, look what this one did. Listen to that one. Doesn't this make sense to you? And there's all these cross currents that are going when the spirit man is being connected with God. In you lies the full potential to hear what God is saying, what God is speaking. In you lies the full potential for this fellowship with Almighty God. Wrap your mind around. Talk about transformational thinking. He who spoke the worlds into existence and the universes that they're still trying to figure out how many of them there are. I mean, it's like, come on, the worlds and everything spoken. And he loves you. He wants to hear what you have to say. He wants to know, Dave, do you want to live in Elk River or do you want to live where you live? God, you really care about that? Don't you have a universe to hold together? Don't you have 6-7 billion other people on the face of the planet that have bigger problems than I do? And we think of God according to carnal reasoning. We somehow want to create him in our image rather than be created in his image.
Good.
We somehow think that he's limited and thinks the way we think. Did you know he has a justice system that is way different than ours? The justice of God is that his son became sin, even though he knew no sin, so that I could become the absolute righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I tell you, when I first encountered that truth, I thought I was blaspheming. Except then I realized it was God that was telling me that. As righteous as he is, I am.
Amen.
One that believes it. No, I know this is craziness. But this is transformational thinking.
Yeah.
And here's how it goes. It's like, you know, the Lord had to convince me of that. It wasn't enough just to read it in 2 Corinthians 5:21. As righteous. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Dave, if you aren't at least as righteous as Adam and Eve were before the fall, they got kicked out of my presence for sin. If you weren't at least that righteous, you wouldn't be welcomed into my presence. Come, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and to find help in our time of need. Not when we're all cleaned up, we've got it all together. In our time of need, we are now invited into the very throne room of grace. The veil has been rent. It has been torn. Your sin can't keep you out. And I'm not saying that sin doesn't matter. It does. Sin will mess you up. What happens if you're living in sin is you have a civil war going on inside. Because that stuff no longer feeds you. You are created for his glory. You're created to carry his awesomeness. And if you had sin, you know, oh, God, will you just take my sin away? Oh, God, will you just send your presence so that I won't sin? Oh, God, will you? God's saying, I've done it.
Yes, already done.
I've done it. I can't do anything more.
It's finished.
You have self-control. You put to death your members. I've done it. Just go visit a couple thousand years ago and see the reality of it. But you put aside, in fact, I'm going to read that because this is what I wasn't going to preach out of what I just preached.
It was good.
This is what I was going to preach out of. And I'm just going to read it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through whatever. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. If then, if, how many of you were raised with Christ? How many of you were buried, were crucified with him, buried through baptism, raised by the same glory that raised him from the dead?
Amen.
Amen? Okay, so, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. How do you seek those things which are above? Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Don't be conformed to what's written on earth. Be conformed to what's written in heaven.
Yes.
What does heaven look like? See, we've relegated heaven to being some happy little after. And it is. There is eternity. There is heaven. But Jesus said this. He said, the kingdom is within you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The kingdom of God is near you. It's at hand. See, when we're looking for the kingdom out there somewhere, we're missing the reality that I am born again with the seed of the Father and his kingdom. And now all of a sudden, the things that made sense once on that side of the cross, it causes civil war inside on this side of the cross. You died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do you know what a position that is? You are in Christ. That means you were in his crucifixion. You were in his burial. You are now in his resurrection so that you can live and walk in newness of life. You're hidden in Christ. You know when you get in trouble? Is when you poke your head out of being in Christ. Has God really said? What was that? I wonder what that looks like. Oh! You know, see, there is a reality of being in Christ.
That's right.
You are in Christ. We get in trouble when we get outside of Christ. Because we start conforming to what we can see, taste, touch, and feel rather than what we know, what we see, taste, touch, and feel in the spirit man. And these cross currents come because of unregenerated minds. I mean, come on, it's hard to believe the unbelievable, isn't it? You know what I mean? That's why it's transformational. That's why I haven't arrived. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination. I'm probably preaching this to myself more than I'm preaching it to you. But I preach to myself all the time. If you don't talk to yourself, you're crazy.
That's right.
You realize that, right?
Yeah.
That's so, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I used to think, okay, so that's talking about heaven. That's in glory. We think that the glory is heaven. No. When his life appears, when his life manifests in me, there is a glory that comes upon me. There was a time I thought that was just proud and arrogant and, I don't care. I'm just a worm. I love what my old pastor used to say. You know, somebody had sing a song, he'd go and tell him, he'd say, awesome job, you did a great job with that song. And the person, shucks, it wasn't me, it was just Jesus. And he says, if it would have just been Jesus, it would have been a whole lot better. You know? I mean, come on, you know? But there is this false humility that is on the church of Jesus Christ to think that his death, burial, and resurrection isn't enough to cause me to carry some of his glory, to radiate his presence, to radiate his love, to love like he loves, to have compassion the way he has compassion, to lay hands on the sick and see sick people healed. Come on, that's part of his glory. And he loves as the bridegroom sharing his glory with the bride. He loves as the head of the body giving the body, the works to do that bring him glory. These are realities.
Yes.
When Christ, who is our life, Jesus is my life. And when he appears, when does he appear? He's appearing right now as I'm preaching.
Yes.
You know, he gets so religious when he... Okay, I'm going to go here. He appears when I'm making love to my wife. All right? Shocking. The fact that Jesus could appear in such a moment like that. And this isn't just to do shock stuff. This is to break some kind of a religious spirit that thinks that there is holy and then there's secular. That there is godly and then there's ungodly. And ne'er the two shall will meet. No. When Christ, who is my life, he is my life. And he appears, when he manifests out of me, then he receives glory. Amen. And there's a glory that comes on you when you manifest Christ in the hardest of situations. Therefore, you put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these too: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Do you notice here? He's not saying, just present yourselves and God will take this stuff away. Do you notice here? These are commands. You put off certain things. You quit doing certain things. You put on some other things. See, I know there's a balance here where you say, well, I just can't do anything in and of myself. I mean, Paul said, in and of myself, with my flesh, there's no good thing. And I can't do anything. I tell you, that can be a cop-out. Because the same grace that redeemed you from death has also empowered you to walk in life.
Amen.
I love what Jesus said to the woman that was caught in adultery. After everybody's made their accusations, after everybody has tried to get her to conform, get Jesus to conform to their rule, Jesus leans down, he doesn't answer, and when he stands up, he comes with transformational thinking. You who have the first, is without sin, throw the first stone. That ought to do it. He goes back to what he's doing. He notices everybody's gone. He looks at the woman, I believe, with great compassion. Hey, woman, where are your accusers? I don't have any. And Jesus releases mercy and grace in two statements. He says, neither do I condemn you. If you're sitting here this morning and the grace of God is on your life, if you have been born again, then Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation. No condemnation. That takes transformational thinking.
Amen.
No guilt, no shame. Jesus doesn't deal with us according to our guilt and shame. He deals with us according to our identity. Never will you see the Apostle Paul manipulating with guilt and shame. But he will always address the people according to their identity. The second thing Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. Mercy and empowering grace. Mercy and empowering grace. Mercy, empowering grace. Transformational thinking. See, it's great to quote the verses, but this has got to be a reality. This has got to be a reality. Something has got to change about our thinking. What has to change? God isn't going to change. He's perfect. What he has got the cross currents going this way, what has to change is our thinking that aligns with his thinking.
Amen. That's right.
If he calls me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I don't care what this says.
Yeah. Amen.
Because my heart says this. If he calls me a son or a daughter, he wouldn't call me a daughter, but he calls me a son. I don't care what goes this way.
Yeah.
I will believe this. If he says, Dave, you're back, has been paid for by my stripes.
Amen.
I don't care what this thing says.
Amen.
I am coming in alignment.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever circumstance that you're in, find out what the Word of God says about it.
Amen.
Align your thinking with the Word of God.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Let's stand together. So, Father, I bless this congregation, God. I bless the gold, the silver, the precious jewels that you've shown me sit in these seats from Sunday to Sunday, God. People with a greatness within, God, that you, because you've planted it there. Father, we break that spirit of confirmation that wants to dumb the church down, that wants to dumb each person down to look like somebody else. And Father, I pray for a release of transformational thinking, embracing transformational realities, that we can believe the unbelievable. I bless this body. I bless this congregation. We just release your goodness upon each one in Jesus' name. Amen.